Have you ever had a nightmare neighbor? You know, a neighbor from hell? You know what I'm talking about. If so, we want to hear about it in our brand new podcast, Nightmare Neighbors. That's right. We got another one in the works. But we need your stories first. Go to nightmareneighbors.com and send in your nightmare neighbor story. Or call in toll-free, 888-68-CRAZY, 888-68-CRAZY, and share your nightmare neighbor story with us. And we may talk about it and use it on a future episode of the Nightmare Neighbors podcast coming very soon. Maybe they're your current neighbors. Maybe they were a neighbor from years gone by. Now is the chance to tell your story anonymously. Go to nightmareneighbors.com to share your nightmare neighbor story with us. Or call 888-68-CRAZY. And be part of the brand new Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when unexplained knocking keeps you awake night after night? Is there ever a way to stop the noise you can't explain?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you want to support the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP as we call them. You get bonus episodes of the show, brand new ones every single week, access to more than 300 of them throughout the years. The archive is what you get. You also get advanced episodes of the program, all commercial free. You get those weeks before they're released to the public. You get our ebook, our audiobook, both of them in total about a $30 value if you were to go buy them on Amazon or Audible. And a whole bunch of other extras, all right there, $5 a month to support the program. Get in on everything and keep the program on the air. Ghostpodcast.com is where you do that. Or if you prefer the Patreon route, patreon.com/realghoststories. Same content in both places. It's just a matter of the interface you like best. patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hello.
And how are you on this fine day?
Good. How are you?
You're doing wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes. It's Jenny's birthday as we're recording this today.
Yeah. It's June 8th. So that's my birthday.
Yep. You seem thrilled.
I woke up at 5 in the morning with kidney pain. So yeah, it was fun. It was like, happy birthday. My body's trying to make a diamond.
Well, there we can. We eventually, when it comes out, we'll make a lovely pendant or something out of it.
We'll put it in a ring.
Won't that be? Does anybody do that?
No.
In real life,
does that. Sometimes people will, if they have it removed, will keep it in a jar just as a, you know, like badge of honor. Like, I passed this,
and then show it to friends and be like, yeah, "Look at this shit."
Right.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to see your kidney stone. I'm just letting you know, people that think they want to show their kidney stone to their friends, nobody wants to see it.
What would be better, and this is something that doesn't really exist anymore but did exist prior to the world of Facebook and everything, it was when people would go to someone else's house and then they put up their projector screen and slides. Remember that? It was like, and here's our summer vacation, or here we went to this place or that place.
I
had an aunt that did that.
Oh,
all the time we'd go over there and it's like, is the projector up today? And I was excited because I was a little kid and I'm like, this is neat. This is big pictures on a screen. And it would just be like, I think my parents were like, oh God. And it was just the, pictures that no one cares to see other than those who live them.
You know, thank God for Facebook, because now you can just mindlessly like, and not really look.
Yeah. It's like, that's great. I'm so happy for you. Mm-hmm. What would you rather do? Be enduring, someone's hour-long show about their vacation to rural let's see here, Iowa.
Okay.
I'm just trying to think of an area where it's really, there's not a ton to see. Mm-hmm. So there's no real scenery. It's just kind of a lot of flatness, corn, wheat, sure. that sort of stuff. A bunch of pictures of that for an hour with boring stories attached, or you could endure 10 minutes of conversation with that same person with them showing you their kidney stone collection and then explaining to you what happened on each one. What'd you rather?
I think I'd go with the boring vacation to Iowa.
Yeah.
Because nobody wants to see anything that came out of your body.
Less traumatic.
Unless it's a baby.
Yeah.
Other than that, can you think of anything that came out of your body that anybody else should see?
No, not really. And even then, I don't really, sometimes with some people's kids, it's like, I'm good. You're like, you want to meet the kids? No, they can stay in their rooms. I'm cool.
I know. You're not a kid person. For having two kids, you're not a kid person.
I like my own kids.
Yeah, sure.
It's just other people's kids. I'm like, I'm good. It's like the Seinfeld episode almost where it's like, isn't she a beautiful baby? And it's like, oh my God. Like, no, no, it's not. There's like, what happened? But yeah, that's just kind of how I am. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first letter. It says, so my name is Carlos. I'm from Kansas City, and I have had a few different experiences with the paranormal. The experience I want to tell you about today, it started in a house my dad bought, and soon after moving in, we started to remodel the whole house room by room. So one day, one of the neighbors came to us and said that someone was killed in the house, but we did not believe them. So we would hear footsteps upstairs while we were all downstairs. Seemed weird, but kind of brushed it off. So time went on and we stopped acknowledging all of it. So then we go to the year 2002. It was my junior year in high school. I worked the summer before, saved up and bought a car. It was a 1983 Oldsmobile Cutlass Supreme. I love the car. One night in October of 2002, I was at home asleep and I parked my car in the backyard because those cars were extremely easy to steal. So to avoid it getting stolen, I'd park it in the back by our big Rottweiler. So that night I heard the dog barking like crazy. So I looked out my window in the backyard and I could see my car. So I woke up and looked out my other window and looked at my car and noticed someone sitting on the hood of my car. I thought I just was seeing things. So I went back to sleep in the morning. Went out to go to school and noticed there were imprints on the bumper of my car from someone sitting there with their feet on the bumper and them sitting on the hood. So again, I ignored it. A few days went by and I and my mom were coming back from the store. I was driving and stopped at a four-way stop. And as I left the stop sign, a truck ran the stop sign and smashed into the back passenger side of my car. But luckily, no one was hurt. A week later, I got my car fixed, got it back. So now it's April of 2003. I was asleep once again in my room and woke up around 2 in the morning and heard someone beating on the door. So I get up and walk down the stairs, look towards the front door, thinking it my brother that lived down the street or someone I knew. But as I looked at the door, I did not recognize the person. And I could see him beating on the door so hard it was flexing at the top. So I went back upstairs, told my mom and dad, and they said they didn't hear anything and to go back to sleep. Went back to my room, locked my door, and tried to go back to sleep. Look out my bedroom window and would see the reflection of him in the neighbor's window as he was on our front porch. Finally, I just fell asleep. Once I woke up in the morning, I asked my mom and dad if they heard anything last night, and they said no. So we went outside onto the porch. My dad's sandals were kicked onto the side, the other side of the porch, and a chair was knocked over. So I automatically said, I told you. They asked me what he looked like, so I described him. He's about 5'9" or so. He was dressed in all white and he had long blondish brownish hair past his shoulders and he seemed to be glowing. I always said he somewhat looked like Jesus. I know it sounds weird, but he did. So we brushed it off like most situations. And about a week later, I was taking my little brother to drop him off at the church for classes. He was taking his first communion, so I dropped him off and started heading back home. And a truck comes out of nowhere, runs another stop sign, and hits the front of my car and sends me straight into a huge telephone pole and just totaled my car. There was no fixing it after that. But one thing I did notice was after I had never seen anything at home like that again. You think my car was haunted? Or what could it have been? love the podcast, listen to it all the time at work, driving to the store, or just working in my car, on my car. Hopefully I hear this on the podcast. It'd be a great thing. Thanks for allowing me to share this story.
I think your car was definitely haunted, and I think that that was probably a previous owner of it who's now dead that was trying to warn you about driving it. Because to get hit by two trucks like that so close in time.
Well, it's interesting because it's not like the car like broke down and then he got hit. It's like it was just the timing is really what this was. Was it like a cursed car and like the previous owner was like, don't drive this thing. It just has bad luck or it'll take you into bad situations or what's up with that?
It could be something like that.
Yeah. So you think there was a ghost that was sitting on the car the one night?
Yeah.
Out in the back of his house. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting when you look out your window and you see a large dark object where it shouldn't be. It's kind of weird.
It is kind of weird.
It's kind of disturbing, and you're kind of like, what the hell is that?
Until you realize what it is.
It's the neighbor's cow.
Yeah.
True story. So the other night, we were sitting on our front porch, as we normally do. All of a sudden, we see, and it was clear as day at this, I mean, it was dusk, but it was clear enough to see what it was.
Yeah.
And this big black cow is just wandering through the front yard about, I don't know how many, 30 yards down.
And she was literally a cow, you know, not a bull or anything.
Yeah.
And so I go out there trying to, you know, talk, you know, trying to get her to come to me because we know that she's from the next farm over.
Yeah.
And she kind of looks at me and she comes a little closer and then she's like, nope, I'm going to go in your backyard and eat your grass. And so she goes back there and she just hangs out. We finally get a hold of the neighbor and he comes over and he's what probably our parents' age.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was out there on an ATV till 11 o'clock trying to get this cow to come home. But he said she jumps the fence. And then she doesn't try and go home until the calf starts bawling for her. So yeah. I'm like, she just needed a mom's night out.
Yeah.
So
she did. And I took the dogs out around 11 and to go potty. And I go into the backyard with them. And then there's a little bit of pasture out in back beyond where we walk. And it was there. The moon was out, but it was a little cloudy. And all I could just kind of make out was this giant black blob amongst the grass. And I'm like, that's not normal. But it was enough where I couldn't tell if it was a cow, but I just assumed it had to be the cow that was standing back there.
Sure.
But I wanted to go a little bit closer and try and take a picture of it. But it was too dark. And then I saw the farmer's ATV lights coming as he was going to try and round him up. And I took a peek out the door and all I saw was like, ATV lights later and then just like an animal jumping.
Yeah.
So I assume, you know, he eventually got the cow rounded up.
I didn't realize they could jump that high.
Yeah, either did I. That'd be quite because they're so docile.
Yeah.
And then to think, oh wow, these if they really want to, they can do some, you know, some jumping. It's it was interesting. But
it was fun. We enjoyed it. That's the kind of neighbor we like is the random cow and then our poor neighbor having to round him up so late.
You know, I it's funny because I the other podcast, Nightmare Neighbors, and we talk about the nightmare neighbor situations. I think what we personally get riled up by is not what I think a lot of other people will get riled up by. I think sometimes something like this would totally set certain people off of, oh my God, there's a cow in my yard.
And the cow's pooping in my yard.
How are you not controlling this? Oh my God. Like, I'll take the cow in my yard any day over the people and the whiny children and golf carts swearing at us. And I'll send more cows. I don't care. I mean, I was like, when we were wrapping up the day, I'm like, you know, I thought that was really neat.
I did too. Like,
I'm totally cool with cows wandering into our yard. I don't want them to get hurt or get hit by a car or something, but like, I'm totally cool with cows escaping. Like, that does not bother me one bit.
You've discovered a new love for horses and livestock.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, you go out and you hug a horse almost daily.
yeah, there's these horses that live next door and their fence lines up to our yard. And I'll go out there and feed them a carrot or an apple or something and talk to them. And I learned the more you talk to them, mm-hmm. the more they want to hang out by you.
Yeah.
Even if they don't understand what you're saying. Although I don't know if I'm wondering how much they do because he nods.
He does nod. And she nods.
And then she'll come over and then she'll stick her head over the side. And it's probably just like, give me more carrots, but I'll give her a hug. And it's just like, this is nice. It's nice having a horse friend.
It's the cutest thing to see Tony hug a horse.
I'm making friends. They're animals, but I'm making friends. So it's kind of nice. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our next letter. It says, I'm a fan of your show, although I've not been listening to it the past couple months. I used to listen while I was washing dishes, but ever since we got a dishwasher, I don't listen as much as I'd like. I want to start off by saying that I'm not a religious person, but I try to pray every night and have a crucifix, and it's an image of Jesus Christ in my room. I do not know if what happened to me is considered paranormal. First, I am a very weird sleeper. When I close my eyes, it's as if my eyes are still opened and I can still see around my room with my eyes open. I know, weird. Anyway, this happened to me last night. I was on my phone after the lights were out, and then I put it down and went to sleep. When I was dreaming, I felt like I was not in a deep sleep, but I was asleep nonetheless. All of a sudden, I felt that someone startled me awake, and I got a bit scared, like someone touched my chest, stomach area. My heart was beating fast, and I was half covered by my blanket. I was not cold, but I felt weird because I was not covered. I lay there for a few minutes without opening my eyes. I also like to wear an eye mask to sleep. Then I covered myself again. Tried going back to sleep, but I could not. This is not the first time something like this happened at my house. At some point, all my sisters and I shared a room. My room is right next to the front door, so I can hear if someone knocks or when the mail arrives. One time, I heard someone knock 3 times on the front door in the middle of the night. I was the only one that heard. I got a little freaked out because it was in the middle of the night. When I was younger, my next door neighbor committed suicide. I was 6 or 7 years old when this happened, and my dad was the one who found him. He was in the backyard and had shot himself in the stomach. The weirdest thing is I am not afraid to go outside in the middle of the night, but I am scared of walking in my house after all the lights are off. Also, my sister experienced something as well. She had gotten up early that day and was in the kitchen. I was also cloudy that day. She was facing the sink, and when she turned around, she saw someone walk past the kitchen entrance. She thought it was my mom walking by, but my mom was in the restroom. She turned on the lights after that. I know it's a lot of stories in one page, and I hope I did not jumble you. Still love your show, and I follow both of you on Instagram. Good luck, and take care.
It sounds like I hate to say you're run-of-the-mill house ghost, but it kind of just sounds like your run-of-the-mill house ghost that likes to mess with lights and do things when, you know, you least expect it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to me, that's enough proof that ghosts exist. I know a lot of people, they're like, well, you know, there could be a reason for the lighting to do that or blah, blah, blah. But it's like, once you've lived with a ghost, you get it. And, you know, even if it just does simple things like this, it's still a ghost and it's still in your house and it's still a ghost story.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not necessarily about the level of the haunting. It's like, if it's happening, it's happening.
Yeah.
Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. You can call in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and share your real ghost stories with us. Next letter, it says, hey there, I need to preface this story with the fact that I am not a non-believer in the spirit world. I'm just hesitant to accept something is out there that I've not truly seen, yet I cannot explain what happened over a decade ago. I only tune into your podcast from time to time, mostly in the winter when I'm driving home from late night football training. I enjoy the night drive, especially in the rain, with the ambience of some ghostly or explainable encounters. I do not usually talk about anything specific from my time spent in the Army, especially from when on deployment. Those whom I'm served and fought with know what we went through. It's not usually stuff you want to revisit too often. But there's always been one incident that really stood out for me during my time in the Middle East. Okay, so there was quite a few, but this one was outside anything I can ever explain or very rarely talk about. I'm not going to go into specifics of what country or province I was in. I do not think I really have any they have really any bearing on the story. Back in 2007, I was an Australian soldier on deployment in the Middle East. I was on my second deployment in the region and was fairly used to the life you needed to lead over there. My job role in the Army was that of a gunner, a member of a field artillery unit. We had seen action against opposing forces on several different occasions by providing indirect fire support to friendly forces. While even we had an awfully specific job role to play, there were still times where you were tasked to perform what I'm going to call routine patrols as a member of a smaller infantry team. On one patrol, we were making our way through an area a team had been through a day or so before us, an abandoned village. We were in a team of six with another team of about 300 meters away in a different part of the village. Of the six in our team, three of us had been on deployment before and experienced combat. I need to stress that at this time, this was the most important factor or most disturbing factor in what we experienced, depending on your point of view. It was late at night, yet we were not fatigued. Adrenaline is a great thing. We were making our way through what appeared to be a slightly secluded part of the village, with some smaller trees lining what we thought may have been a small but pastured area of large garden. When we came up to the entrance of it, we realized it was, in fact, a graveyard. This is where I cannot explain what happened over the next few minutes or so. As we made our way through the graveyard, it felt like the air had gotten colder as we made our way forwards. As we began walking across the grounds, it was almost as if all at once the safeties on all three of our rifles flicked on. Those rifles belonged to the two other soldiers who have been in combat before and me. It did not happen to those who had not. Anyone out there who has handled a firearm before knows that this does not just happen, especially not on three soldiers all at once. We all looked around at each other, a bit puzzled as we moved through. The three of us noted that while we could flick the safety back off, there was a lot more resistance than there should have been. In fact, after moving forward a few more meters, it happened again. We cleared the graveyard with no other issues. We noticed that once we teamed up with the rest of the patrol that we had no other issues with the use of our safety releases. I really do not know how to explain it. It felt to us three, after talking about it privately, that there was some sort of presence there and that it decided that there had been enough life already taken in previous conflicts. I honestly do not know how to explain it. I've never encountered anything like it since, nor have I experienced any other spirit or ghost-based phenomena. Even when I've been on ghost tours or to haunted places, I do not know enough about how the spirit world works or what their intentions are. Maybe you can shed some more light on this for me, as I truly cannot comprehend, still to this day, what happened.
It makes you wonder if it had something to do with, you know, where they were and being in uniform. I'm assuming they were in uniform because it sounds like they were on patrol. And, it just makes you wonder if whatever spirits were there in that cemetery had certain feelings about that.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what stirred up some of the, you know, the feelings that they got.
Sure.
Because I think, you know, honestly, we don't talk a lot about it. We talk about the feelings that we get from ghosts, but I'm sure ghosts get feelings from us too. Mm-hmm. I think it's a two-way street. And that may be part of what, you know, fuels back and forth. You know, it's like a tension between two angry people that are living. Mm-hmm. There's a tension between maybe somebody that's alive and somebody that's dead that's come back.
And maybe the spirit knew there was, maybe the spirit was protecting someone that was there, mm-hmm. that was hiding, mm-hmm. that knew they were coming through, that knew this is not a combatant. This is maybe just a villager. This is, but if they show themselves, it may startle them.
Yeah.
And to be safe, it's flicking the safety on, just kind of being like, hey guys, look, I know you're doing your job, but here's a sign, safety, just mm-hmm. take it easy going through here.
Sure.
You know, and because you may be startled, and it doesn't sound like they did get startled in this situation, but I wonder if there was something like that was literally looking out for someone who was in that area and almost giving the soldiers a distraction at that moment when they may otherwise be attracted or distraught by something else out there. Mm-hmm. you know, that may have just been an innocent, you know, villager or something.
Yeah.
You know, I think there might be more to the whole circle of the story than that soldier's even aware of. You know, thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. It's interesting. We don't hear a lot of stories about soldiers and conflicts. We have had a handful over the years, especially about the fighting in Afghanistan and Iraq over the last 20 years. But not a lot. And I get, you know, a lot of it is probably just not shared.
Yeah, I would imagine that's not something that's they enjoy talking about.
Sure.
So, and, you know, maybe it is something that is therapeutic to talk about in certain areas, but not necessarily here.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, it's fascinating, but I respect and understand where they're coming from of, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to share this or that. I know it's confusing enough, you know, I'm sure having to deal with what, you know, was dealt with when they're add ghosts and paranormal things into the mix, you know, and it's like even more. Thank you for sharing that with us, though. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to a caller. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Carol and Jenny. This is Allie from Utah again. I just became a EPP member and heard my story on, I believe the episode is called What Ghosts Want. Thank you so much for playing it. I didn't even cross my mind. I always tell people I'm sensitive, but I'm not a medium, but it never occurred to me that whatever was following me wasn't able to get the message through all the way. So that was a great opinion to think on and kind of roll over, like, yeah, that might have been the reason that all I could hear was my name and hey or hi. I have several more stories. I'd be absolutely above the moon to tell you guys and write in with. This particular one is going to be about a ghost kind of friend that me, my sister, and all my cousins used to play with at my grandmother's home. This grandmother is the same one on my mom's side of the family that is sensitive as well. They had a situation of my aunt and her three children, my three cousins, lived in the same home as my grandmother. So oftentimes we grew up very close to them. So we'd actually go several cities over to visit them and spend holidays with them and things of that sort. Well, while all of us were little, we had a spirit play with us. They had like a staircase in the front entryway that had a light switch at the bottom and top of the staircase. And we'd all either be up at the top of the staircase or down at the bottom of the staircase. And we'd sit there and we'd flick the light on or off. And you could actually see the light either at the top or the bottom of the stairs opposite where all of us were hanging out, flip on or off in response to us playing with the light switch. We also would have situations where we'd be sitting in the living room, and during the holidays, my mom and grandma would light candles that would be set on the coffee table. And, you know, us being little kids, we're always told, don't touch the candles, don't mess with the candles, things of that sort to be safe and whatnot. And just out of the blue, we'd have the candles blow out. The thing with that is where the coffee table is set, it's not under any vents in that particular room that is the candle would be in. The windows don't open. They're just windows to look out or into the house. So we'd have these candles blow out, and we'd usually send our oldest cousin into the dining room where all of the adults are talking and visiting to tell one of them that the candles had blown out. The adults would walk into the living room, see the candles blow out, you know, yell or lecture us, you know, quit playing with the candle, don't blow the candle out, now we have to relight it. The adult would then go back into either the dining room or the kitchen where the lighter for these candles would be at, because of course it's up somewhere that us little ones can't get to. And as the adult is in the other room retrieving the lighter, the candles would actually relight by the ghost with nobody else messing or playing with it. And then the adult would come back in and look at these newly lit candles completely flabbergasted because there was nobody around that had a lighter in order to relight these candles. With my whole entire family being sensitive, I tend to get what you guys have often called information downloads, but I often get like three specific things from these downloads. Usually I get a gender of the spirit, a general age range, and then usually either an emotion or a reason for them being there, where my other family members who are sensitive wouldn't get the same information. They'd be able to feel that something's there, but they wouldn't get the same download that I do. And oftentimes, I always felt like the spirit was a male, 30s to 40s, and he felt protective of us children. And I was always told from the older of the kids, since I'm the youngest one, that he's a spirit from a guy who got locked up in the crawl space and died in there. Unfortunately, I have not been able to look into the history of the house or anything like that. Of course, I don't honestly believe that somebody got locked up in the crawl space and passed away there, but I no longer feel him there. I did notice once all of us kids started getting into our late teen, early adult years, we couldn't really feel him there anymore. I have noticed a bit of his presence when we go and visit, and a lot of the like great grandkids are there as well, who are all still currently little. They haven't experienced anything that they've told us. But I also don't feel him like I did when we were little. I get a sense that he's still kind of watching over everybody, making sure we're all safe and protected, but he isn't interacting with us or with the little ones like he did when we were younger. I can't wait to call back and tell you many, many more stories. I've experienced ghosts, spirits, entities all of my life, and I have a lot more to tell you. Thank you for what you guys are doing. You're definitely helping us through these very difficult times and even just on a normal day-to-day basis, keeping everybody entertained and giving us a platform to tell our stories. Thank you for what you're doing, and I hope all of you have a good day. Bye.
Here's a thought. We always talk about kids outgrowing their sensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think she's outgrown hers, and I'm not saying that, but the way the ghost kind of stopped hanging around them when they got older, it makes you wonder, is it always that the kid outgrew their sensitivity, or is it that the ghost lost interest? Because, you know, adults like kids for the most part, unless you're Tony. And, you know, you want to say hi and talk to the kid, you know, and if you're a kid person.
Yeah.
But you don't necessarily do that always to adults, you know?
Sure.
So it makes you wonder if the ghost just kind of lost interest as the kids grew up, that they're just like, well, you're not as cute and fun anymore, so I'm just going to go haunt somebody else now.
You're just kind of moved on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it could very easily be one of those things where people don't necessarily attribute, you know, human characteristics to ghosts or things that we normally would. Sometimes we overlook some very basic, you know, ways that people interact. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, yeah, they're a person. They may feel that way too.
Yeah.
And yeah, I could very well be that way. It's not just that they're stuck there and that this is all they're going to do. And they're, you know, we're at their, or they're at our mercy of whatever. I think that could very well be the case. Thank you for sharing that, that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. And that is going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to keep us on the air and get all of those bonus episodes. Follow us on Instagram at Jenny Brewski. For Jenny, I'm at Tony Brewski. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Brewski, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London School explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there.